for you. If there is a passage of scripture or a subject you would like me to preach on, fill it out and put it in my mailbox, Griffith, out there in the hallway, and I'll look at it. And today's message is one that was requested. And so I'm not going to name the requester, but if you don't like it, then I will tell you who it was. And so you can and you can see that person. I'm going to speak on the subject of the watchman. This is from Ezekiel chapter 33. We'll look at the first 9 verses. It's way back on April 10th, 1912, that in Liverpool, England, the great ocean liner Titanic, commanded by Captain Edward J. Smith, set sail. A day out of port from Liverpool, on April 11th, 1912, the Titanic received 7 separate messages warning that icebergs lay ahead on Titanic's course. Captain Smith saw every one of those 7 messages, noted them in the ship's log, but ignored them. You know what happened. The Titanic hit an iceberg. And at 2:18 on April 15th, 1912, it disappeared beneath the waters, the ice-cold waters of the Atlantic, and sank to its final resting place. There were a lot of people, thousands, that died that night that shouldn't have. The shipbuilders had boasted that the ship was unsinkable. They even said, the ship designer even said, that not even God himself could sink the ship. And with that mentality, there were not enough lifeboats on board for the passengers. And that arrogance and oversight also resulted in the deaths of so many thousands. I think we as Christians are a lot like the shipbuilder of that day. We sometimes fail to take seriously the fact that the lost may not live another day. And because of that, we don't share the good news of the gospel of Christ, that there is a lifesaver found in Jesus. But also, think about Captain Smith. He failed to heed the warning that were sent to him. And so he also played a role in the perishing of all those lives, including his own. And this speaks to the non-Christians, those who have not given their life to Christ. And on that day, stand before God, if you do not come to Christ, you also, like Captain Smith, will be responsible for your own eternal damnation. So today, the message is very simple. It's twofold. We're going to learn first about the responsibility in receiving the gospel. And those who have received the gospel, our responsibility is sharing the gospel. I only have 2 simple points for you, and they're from Ezekiel 33. And the first one is, you are responsible for your actions. Let's look here in Ezekiel chapter 33 and look at the first 5 verses. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon the land, and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows on the trumpet and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood will be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. Pretty clear that what's going on here is a message to people to heed the warning. Ezekiel was a prophet who had been taken captive by the Babylonians. His ministry spanned a time contemporary also with the prophet Daniel. And he had seen the city of Jerusalem fall to the Babylonians. And he's looking back and he's remembering how he had warned over and over again the inhabitants of Jerusalem that their destruction was imminent if they did not follow the ways of God. Now, this passage is built around the idea of the strategic defense of that day. The defense system common in that ancient day, of course, was a fortified city. The city was surrounded by a high and large wall. Sometimes it was a double wall. You'd get over one wall and there'd be a second wall. But the wall was several feet thick. It was made with large stones. Towers for lookouts was built into each corner of this fortress. And in those towers, they had watchmen stationed day and night. And their keen eyes looked to the horizon, looking for the approach of enemy forces. Not only did they have watchmen in the towers on the wall, they also had them placed by the gates leading into the city. And if any watchman at any time saw an enemy approaching or someone they thought was an enemy, they weren't to call for the commander and have the commander come up and ascertain if there really a danger or not, because it might be too late. As soon as there was a perceived danger approaching, the watchman, and in ancient Israel, would pull out the shofar, the ram's horn, like in that picture, and would sound the alarm, and everybody knew that meant grab your weapon and run to the wall, for the enemy was coming, and be ready to defend the city. And Ezekiel said, like a watchman on the wall, God has placed me there, and I have blown the trumpet. And those who come to the protection of the city, they've saved their lives. But those who ignore the trumpet say, ah, false alarm. Heard it before. And the enemy comes. Their blood is on their own head, on their own hands. Well, of course, there's some lessons for us in the passage, and I don't want you to miss it. And that main lesson, first of all, is we are all accountable for our own actions. How many times have you heard the message, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death? Over and over again, people have heard that message. But yet, how many times do people, upon hearing that message and hearing the word that they must come to Christ, go, yeah, I know. But I'm not ready. I don't want to come. Not yet. Well, I want to remind believers to keep on sharing the word. And if you've not come to Christ, encourage you to do so, to because I want to remind you of Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. In those verses, the Lord says, as long as I live, says the Lord. Now think about that. How long does the Lord live? Forever. He is eternal. He has always existed and He always will exist. And the Lord says, as long as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to write, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Oh, preacher, why are you going down this road? I don't like this at all. I don't like this idea that one day I'm going to have to stand before God Almighty and give an answer for myself. That's true. Now, if you're in Christ, you're cool. Because if you're in Jesus, when God says, here are your sins, who's going to pay the price for them? You're going to be able to say, Jesus has. And the penalty will have been paid. But if you are outside of Jesus, and those outside of Jesus who aren't here today, who's going to pay the price? They will. They will. They'll pay the penalty for sin with their own life. Now, why is it that we don't like this idea of being held accountable before God? There's a columnist for the Chicago Tribune newspaper. I don't know if anybody reads newspapers anymore. But this columnist for the Chicago Tribune is named Bob Green. And a while back, he wrote an opinion column, and he was theorizing what's wrong with the world today. And he had an interesting take on it. And his little opinion column was entitled, The Death of the Permanent Record. And he reflects back. If you're my age, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older, young people, I want you to especially note this. There was such a thing in elementary school known as a permanent record. And when you acted up, when you misbehaved, when you didn't follow the rules, the teacher would look at you and say, you want that on your permanent record? And man, we'd straighten up. You know why? It wasn't because we loved following the rules. No. It's because we knew if it went on our permanent record, we were going to have to give an account to Mom and Dad. The other day, not the other day, but a while back last summer, I was back home visiting with my parents. And my mom was going through some stuff. And she found a report card for me and my brother from South Knoll Elementary School in College Station, Texas. And there on the permanent record, I got to tell you, I had really good marks. Okay? But there on my brother's permanent record, it was there, and my brother's 3 years older than me, and it's still on his record. Lynn, if you're listening on the internet, I'm telling on you, so, and I'm not apologizing, okay? there in first grade, my brother would line, at lunchtime, would line his English peas up in a row on the table and smash them with his fist. Because he didn't like English peas. I don't like them either, but he didn't like them as well. but it was on his permanent record. And when report card came home, he had to give an account. Like that columnist in the Chicago Tribune, schools don't give out permanent records anymore. In fact, if they did, you know, there'd be a kid before recess, he'd be filing a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit and have it expunged from his record, right? You know, and threatening with a lawyer. But there is a permanent record, and it's kept by God. You don't buy that? Go to the end of your Bible. Go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. Our deeds are written down in a book. But the cool thing is, that's one set of records. But there's another book, the book of life. And if your name's in the book of life, the things in the book of records don't count. But if your name's not in the book of life, you're judged for what's written over here. So heed the warning. You're responsible for your own actions. That's for the lost. But this is a two-edged sword in this message. Christian, you are responsible for others. Let's continue here in Ezekiel 33. Let's look at verses 6 through 9. And this is for the watchman. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel, so that you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked man from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I'll require from your hand. But if you, on your part, warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life. So here's the second lesson we learned. We as Christians have a responsibility for others. I've got a responsibility. You've got a responsibility. If you're in Christ, we all have a responsibility for telling people about the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not held accountable for somebody I've never met. But if I come across somebody and I learn that they do not follow Jesus Christ, and that person ends up going to hell, while on one hand they are responsible for their own fate, God says, I have played a role in that by being a watchman who is asleep while on duty. Now, in the ancient day, what happened to a watchman who fell asleep on duty and the enemy came? A watchman lost his life, right? I'm glad we're in the day of grace. But yet, as a Christian, understand there are rewards in heaven. And there will be loss of reward for not sharing our faith. Suppose you had found a cure for the worst disease that's ever plagued mankind. Let's say cancer. And you said, I have the cure, but I'm not sure. Now, somebody like that, we would find to be a rather despicable individual, wouldn't we? But the greatest disease to ever plague mankind is not cancer, it's sin. There are those who do survive cancer. But sin is always fatal for the wages of sin is death. But we found the cure in Jesus Christ. Well, why in the world would we not share that with somebody else? How many of you have seen, it's getting old now. How many of you have seen the movie with Sean Connery called Medicine Man? I knew Richard would. Richard sees everything. But anyway, here is Sean Connery. He's a scientist, a doctor working on experiments with tropical flowers in the Amazon rainforest. And there he accidentally stumbles across a cure for cancer. But the problem was he didn't know exactly which flower the cure came from. And so he has to start his research over again, testing all the flowers. Now, the movie's really about save the rainforest, not about curing cancer. And it has a pretty good propaganda spin on it. But the point in the story is that here he is trying to find again what he had found before, the cure for cancer. And there's some bad guys in the story. The bad guys are folks who are clearing the land wanting to sell it. And so he's pleading with them to stop deforesting the rainforest because they're going to lose the cure for cancer. But the bad guys in the story, they're all they care about is their profit. And so the story is the tension between him, the scientist, and those who are wanting to sell the land after clearing it. You see, they were more interested in making a profit than saving lives. There's a great parallel, though, in this illustration for some Christians. How many of us are more concerned about our own welfare than about those who are dying in heaven? In the movie, Medicine Man, those sorry rascals that were the bad guys, their problem was selfishness. That's our problem too. We care more about our own leisure or our own worries, our own uncomfortableness, than giving that up to direct someone how to find eternal life. Remember what Ezekiel said. We don't warn them, then that blood is partially on our own hands. Well, I'm thankful that I live in a time of grace. Because I can promise you that as I stand before you, there are people that I knew myself that were lost that I did not share the gospel. I know that. Every one of us in this room are in that boat. Okay? So don't think that I'm up here pointing a finger of blame at you. And I'm included. We're all guilty of it. And so what do we do with that is we cry out for God to be merciful. And we ask God to forgive us. But we need to remember our responsibility as watchmen. You know, this principle is even true in nature. Growing up on a ranch, and like I did, and with out in the country, there were things that I remember as a kid observing and learning. And I remember my grandfather used to, while we mainly had cattle, there was one field he would plant in corn. Now, we'd harvest some of the sweet corn for ourselves and we'd give some away, but then the corn would be allowed to stay on the stalk and dry like much of the corn does here, and it was put away for cattle feed in the winter. But the corn in the field, as it began to dry and getting near time for harvesting, was a favorite of wildlife. And it was always fascinating to me to watch crows. A flock of crows would move into the field And next time you're around an agriculture field and you see a flock of crows feeding on the corn or whatever's out there, take a moment and watch. And if you look closely enough, you will see this. You will see one or two crows in a treetop nearby, perched very high up while all the others are feeding. This is the watchman. They put a watchman up. And crows, like most birds, have extraordinary vision. And that crow is up there, and if a perceived danger approaches that field, you know what you hear, right? Caw, caw, caw! And all the crows on the ground, they go away. They take flight. If you are able to sneak up into that field without the crow or crows set as watchbirds seeing you, do you know what the crows do to the one that missed you? They attack it and kill it. They sure do. Because even the crows know that a watchbird that doesn't sound the alarm, Jesus, they want to get rid of it. They're not going to give him a chance to make that mistake again. Aren't you glad you're not a crow, Christian? I sure am. For you see, I know that I fail every week at that. So does that mean we're off the hook by the grace of Jesus? No. No. But it does mean we have a responsibility. In 1985, September, end of the summer, city of New Orleans, Louisiana. Down in New Orleans, there was a celebration held at a city pool. For you see, in the summer of 1985, for the first time in anybody's recollection, in all the New Orleans city pools, they made it through a summer with no one drowning. And so 200 people gathered, and 100 of the guests in this party hosted by the city of New Orleans were lifeguards. After the party was over and people began to go home, someone noticed in the pool a fully clothed man lying on the bottom. One of the lifeguards jumped in and pulled 31-year-old Jerome Moody from the water, but it was too late. He had drowned. He had drowned, surrounded by lifeguards, celebrating their success. How many around us are drowning while we give thanks and celebrate what God has done for us? Father, we ask. Lord, you've spoken to us. And Lord, I pray that you'll convict us. That you would draw the one who needs Christ to come. And Father, that you would, Lord, be merciful to us who have stood by while others drowned in their sin. But God, that you would motivate us again to share our faith.